in your Bible to Zechariah chapter 9 again, if you would. We are in a study of Jeremiah, and we have just taken a step ahead in history in order to then go back to Jeremiah. And in the process, we share together that we, our country, our world, global, our country is in a particular, has a particular condition. Our world has a particular condition. It is not peaceful. It is not, you can't be positive. Where do you want to be positive? Venezuela? Where do you want to go? To have positiveness. So it's very hard to be positive about anything. Now, in the days of Jeremiah, you'll remember that they are trying to be positive amidst huge negativeness. And they're trying to do it. They're trying to make believe that whatever is, isn't. And that it will be what they hope it will be. And now, so then they're going to end up with Nebuchadnezzar's coming down already in our chapter 8, etc. Jeremiah, he's coming down in the northern part of Palestine. And in the process, then the Babylonian captivity. Now, that happens. And so all of it's going down. It's not going up. And God has a word when everything looks like the bottom. And that would be when Israel is taken, Jerusalem and Judah, into captivity. And when they're into captivity, the Nebuchadnezzar ships many to Babylon, and in the process they have to serve 70 years of bondage. Now, keeping in mind 70 years of bondage, that Israel will never be, not until the Lord comes, Israel will never be back where it was when Judah and Jerusalem were there. It'll never be back there. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple. It's true, Herod built the temple that Zechariah built, or in his day. But that was in rank unbelief, and Titus destroyed that in 70 A.D. Israel has never come back. So here's Zechariah and Haggai. They're looking at when it's the bottom. And here's a handful of people trying to salvage what is the leftover, what looks like you could do. Remember in Revelation 3, 1 and 2, strengthen the things that remain. You've already lost. You're never going to get them back. But you can strengthen what is left. And here's a remnant. And they're back. And they needed encouragement and enlightenment. And God is going to provide that for them. So as we move ahead a little bit, we go down to where, boy, it gets not very good. Here we are in society, and here they were, and here's our God, and here's his word. Zechariah chapter 9, keeping in mind now, and we share together, in chapter 9 and verse 11 last time, that we looked at that. And remember now, he has he deals with his first coming, Zechariah 9:9. He comes riding in Jerusalem. Matthew 21, riding on the colt of an ass. That's his first coming to crucifixion. When you come to Zechariah chapter 10, it moves immediately to his second coming. And thus, so you got a first coming. If you were people living in with Zechariah, Haggai, remember Ezra and Nehemiah aren't there yet. They aren't there. So we just got Zechariah and Haggai and the people and the ruins, and they're trying to do the best they can with the temple, etc. So here they are looking out there. And in the process, the first and second coming, they mention that. And so we're sort of encouraged. The Messiah is going to come. Verse 9, Messiah is going to come again, and there'll be a wonderful future. Boom. Now, how does that help us? Well, it doesn't yet. It's just a statement of something that's going to be. And as far as practically things go, we aren't seeing it at all. So now, chapter 9, and in verse 11, God, remember, we share together, as for thee also, Zion, you that live in Jerusalem, Judah, as for you. So immediately they're sitting there looking, and God says, now, why did I tell you about my first coming and my second coming? Now I want you to put the pieces together, connect the dots. And thus, as for thee also, and you too, you sitting there reading, listening to all of this, look up, look out. Tomorrow is coming. And when tomorrow comes, the future comes. And the future, remember the present situation we're looking at right now, we're looking at, the present situation has to answer to tomorrow. Tomorrow, everything today answers to tomorrow. So whatever you see or don't see, tomorrow is going to take it up and go further. So here, looking at where you are in the days of Zechariah and Haggai, etc. And here you are, and you need to look to the future. You need to look chapter 9, verse 11. Because the future is assured, secured, very certain. And why is it secured, should, very certain? What did we do? What are we doing to make it that way? Zero. Don't do anything. Well, why is it secure? Verse 11, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant. There's a contract. God has given a contract to Israel. He's given a contract to the world. God is going to keep the contract. The world didn't make the contract. God did. If we made it, like the Mosaic law, they could break that contract because they're on the other side. God and Israel could break it. But you can't break the Abrahamic covenant because that's God's covenant. And God, who is no one higher, by a promise and an oath, secured it. How? By blood. By blood. Remember, when you read about being saved, salvation has nothing to do with you or me. It has to do with God. It's God's plan, God's desire. God does it. And therefore, it's secured, certain, because it isn't conditioned by us, not by works of righteousness, one, which we have done. In no flesh shall God can glory. There's no way. We didn't do it. So now, having said that much, by the blood, and keep going, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. I have sent them forth, and remember the verb is eagerly with passion to send them, not just passively or haphazardly, but with great zeal, zest, to send them forth. I am going to send them forth. I am going to set them free. I'm going to let them loose. And God did that. God did that wonderfully. If you go back with Cyrus in Babylon. Israel didn't have to wonder about, is anyone, God, how are we going to get a remnant, 50,000 or so, how are we going to get back to Jerusalem and have a reinstate a little bit of our history? How are we going to do that? Well, God, Cyrus is God's, you know, Isaiah, Cyrus is God's servant. God picked him. Boom. He's going to do what he does. Listen, Israel didn't plan it. Israel didn't set it up. God did. And God moved. God moved the Gentile. God moved the king to do that. So that's a magnificent thing that God did. So they're going to set the prisoners free. So they're able to come back and be free. And in the future, because it isn't going to get better, and Israel as a nation is bound. Now, if you just say prisoners, it says prisoners, which means to be in fetters, chains. And when you think of prisoners, you say, well, we aren't prisoners, and they weren't prisoners. Oh, hold it. What is a prison? A prison is that which binds, harnesses, encloses us. Prison. And this jail, Alcatraz, Sing Sing, you know, go to jail and live in a little cell. You can do that. That's one kind of prison. Paul was in prison, a literal prison. Now, what about prison? Here's our world. Now, are you in prison? Are people in prison? What does it mean? Prison means you're bound. You're bound. You can't do. Now, how do you go in this prison? How do you go and free yourself from this body of death? Are you working on it? How do you do that? Aren't you a prisoner? Flesh and blood? How do you get out of this? How do you get relief? How do you escape? You don't. You're in prison. When it comes to being saved, and then you're in the dark, and you don't know God, don't have any assurance or wonderful hope, as we'll look at in a second perhaps, you don't have that, just dark. Well, how do you get out of darkness? How do you get out of all the, how do you get out of your sickness, disease, heartache, headache, the world? How do we fix the world? How do you do that? How are you going to fix Venezuela and China and all the countries, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Saudi Arabia? Wow. How are you going to fix them? Aren't they bound? What solution are you going to give them? The devil has a solution, but it's what? It's only more bondage. That's all it is, more bondage. The whole world's in bondage. It has no light. It has no life. It's in bondage. I came to set, as we shared last time, the prisoners free. So when you think of jail, don't think of jail where you're in chains. In fact, it's worse than chains. Chains we can look at and know we're in bondage. But without chains, we think we're free, when we're not free at all. We think we can do what we want as we want, but we're very much, just think, I remember standing in the Alcatraz's, I never went there as a patient, you know, but Alcatraz, and out in the big courtyard out there, and they remember going out in the courtyard, sitting in the stands where they sat, you know. You know, when you sit out there, and there's the big wall, there's the ocean, and there's the wall. Wow. So, we got out of our cell, and now we're out in the yard. But you know what? All we did is change our location. We're still in prison. We haven't moved an inch. Wow. So now, with that little bit, I hope, prison. I've come to set the prisoners free. We're in a pit. There's a pit. It's like a pit with no water. And you'll remember, without going back there, in Jeremiah chapter 2, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have hewn them out a cistern, a hole for water, and it can't hold any water. So they have. I'm the water of life. They don't have any water. I'm the bread of life. Drink of me, you'll never thirst. They didn't have that. They didn't have that at all. They were prisoners in a pit, like Joseph, in a pit. That's all. Prison. Wow, they didn't have anything. Now, having said that, verse 12. Therefore, Zerubbabel and company, here they are, and they're told in verse 12, turn you, it's a command, turn around, return to the stronghold, ye prisoners. So they're told, now God, tell them, here's the blood, that settles it, and they're in a, God set them free, but they need to know how to enjoy the freedom. They need to know how to walk out of the cell. They need to walk out of the prison. They need to have some way to capitalize on the privileges of being free. The truth will set you free. Chapter 9 and verse 12, turn you to the stronghold. And the word stronghold means to be cut off, something that is access. Access is cut off. There's no way to reach the fortress. There's a moat around it. You can't get to the fortress. It's inaccessible. The stronghold. You can't get to it. It's inaccessible. And it's so strong, enclosed, that you can't even, you want to get there to understand it and think about it, but you can't get it. It's a stronghold that passes understanding. It's a place of safety that is awesome. Just like using, without getting off, in Philippians, and the peace of God which passes what? All understanding. Now, how do you grapple? Can you put peace in your hands and hold it? No. You're going to write a paper on it? Write a little paper. And you can write a little paper, but that's all you're going to write, because you can't do it. Why? It's beyond you. And remember, it's a silly illustration, but it's as good as any for the moment. Here's my glass, and you sent me in a little helicopter and dropped me in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean in a little raft, and I take my glass, and my assignment is to empty the ocean. And I have a glass. So now, I'm going to take the glass and dip it down in the ocean. Now, where am I going to dump it? Well, I could dump it in my raft, but that's not too good. So what am I going to do? I have been given an impossible task. It's past my ability and my understanding to empty the ocean. I can enjoy the ocean. I can relax and sit out there. But I can't. All I can do, I can't come to grips with it. It's beyond me. Too big. God is big. Come, turn you to the stronghold. Now, having said that, let's see if we can do that a little bit different. Over to Deuteronomy. Ye prisoners of hope. Deuteronomy and chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, picking up, if I may, in verse 28. Now, I'm going to do it two different ways so you can get it. Deuteronomy 1:28, going directly if I can. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts. Remember going up, the 12 spies are going to go up into the land. Whither shall you go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. Do you see the little word walled up? It's a stronghold. It's a fort. It's a wall. How big is the wall? You can't get through the wall. It's inaccessible. How big is it to us? It's up to heaven. How do we climb it? How do we break it down? How do we get through it? And that was their thinking. They looked at life and they looked at the land of Canaan and said, how are we going to go and conquer this? And of course, it was walled up to heaven. That's what they said. It's too big. Okay, hang on to that. Over, if you would please, to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Chapter 9 and verse 1. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up. There's your word, stronghold. You're going to go, you guys, you slaves that have become my army, you're going to go into the land of Canaan, and you're going to go, and they have big walls. Jericho is a big wall. Wow, double wall. Wow. That's the first thing they hit. What did God tell them? They looked, remember the first time, we can't go in because the enemy is like a wall, and we can't, it's too big, too great, too we're overcome by it, walled up to heaven. God said, hold it. When you cross that Jordan, when you go into the land, I'm going to make all of those cities like nothing. Verse 2, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, those are all giants, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day, that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee, as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out, and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee. So you're getting all tied up with the obstacle, the opponent, the greatness, it's more than, other than, greater than. How are we going to fix the country? How are we going to fix the world? How are we going to change things? How are we going to do that? That's a good question. Good question. Over, if you would please, over to chapter 28, Deuteronomy chapter 28. And picking up, if I can, in we'll pick it up in verse 52 directly. 28:52, he shall besiege thee. Remember, this is Deuteronomy 28. When, if you trust me, 28:1-14, I'll bless you. If you don't trust me, you'll be cursed. And you got all of those statements, one after another. How long? Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 to the end. Wow. All about, you should have listened to me. Now, so when we come to verse 52, he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls. Now, what's that? We're moving now from the enemy's wall. Here's Israel, built walls. Remember, Nehemiah came to build the wall around Jerusalem. That's what he was going to do, build the wall to protect it. All right? We're going to build the wall. All right? Verse 52, he shall besiege thee, the enemy, Babylon, Assyria, going back to the context. He shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls, there's your word, come down, wherein thou hast trusted. So they were trusting their They weren't trusting God. They were trusting their wall and their ability to handle life. That's what they were trusting. God, what are you telling them? Turn ye to the stronghold. You prisoners of hope, get where you need to be. You're trusting in what? You're trusting in your ability to stop Nebuchadnezzar with your wall? Your wall is nothing to Nebuchadnezzar. He'll knock it down like nothing. Now, therefore, wherein thou trusteth, verse 52, throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, and throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And so it isn't going to come out very good at all. Over to Jeremiah now, Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah and chapter 4. And picking up, remember now they're trusting. Is this going to happen? Deuteronomy says they're going to do it, and history, they did it. Everything God says that you're going to do, they say, we're not going to do that. And lo and behold, you turn the pages of history, and they're doing it. Everything, oh, we're never going to get a king, but they are going to have a king, you see. Chapter 4, Jeremiah, verse 5. Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves. Let us go into the defensed strong cities. That's the word, the stronghold. Let us go where the cities are wall. Let's get out of the open space and get behind the wall. Let's go get behind the enclosure that we hope will keep the enemy out. Chapter 5, verse 17. They shall eat up things, they shall eat up thine harvest, the enemy, thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thy herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig tree. They're going to clean house. They shall impoverish thy fence cities, wall. They're going to knock them all down. Your big protection is useless to the enemy. They're going to knock them all down. Your fenced strong cities, wherein, the end of verse 17, you trust it with the sword. You're trusting it with the sword. That's what you're doing. As you do that now, going down the corridor of time, you're trusting. Now, that's Israel. And the normal, and that's what we do. We trust our, the things are too big for us, and they're too strong. That's one. B, we have a little things, solutions in life that we think we can handle in our little walled city, our little thought process, our little mindset. We're able to go and overcome. We can overcome. You really can't overcome at all, and it's very obvious. Whatever the government does, whatever the UN does, whatever the World Council does, the World Bank does, whatever it does, you're just going to go along with it. That's all. That's what you're going to do. You have no choice about it. You can want to go hide somewhere, but you can't get away. You can run, but you can't hide. Now, so here, in Jeremiah, picking up if I can, I want to change it now. Now, here's a man, Jeremiah, like Zechariah, and Zechariah is telling all the people, and here's Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is a man trying to help the people, tell them to look to God, the stronghold, but they aren't doing it. So, over if you would please, Jeremiah chapter 1. God, what are you going to do? Well, you're a wonderful God, but what happens if no one wants you? No one trusts you. No one wants to do anything with your word, with your work. Jeremiah chapter 1 and in verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 1. Well, no, got to keep going. Verse 18. For behold, I have made thee this day, this is God, about Jeremiah, because he said, how can I possibly go and handle this the conditions of Israel, Judah, the way they are? I couldn't do that. God said, hold it. For behold, I have made thee a defense, there's your word, a stronghold. I have made you a walled up city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. Why? For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. So it isn't going to happen. No, it isn't going to happen. And wonderfully, I'm going to go and protect you. So you just have to trust me and say, do the job. But boy, the opposition, the opponents, the conditions that you live in the world, in our country, what are you going to do with them? Well, they're there. They're there. But, God, what was your admonition in Zechariah? Turn ye, ye prisoners of hope, turn to the stronghold. Where's the stronghold? Hold your finger here just a moment. Over, if you would, to Joel. Turn to Joel chapter 3. Joel, are you going to help the people? I am. Joel 3, chapter 3, verse 16. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Turn ye to the stronghold. God is the stronghold. Turn to God. Turn to God. God is the fortress. God is the protector. You want safety? You want to be able to calm the opponent, the obstacle, the opposition? Turn to God. You want to get through the day, the hour? Turn to God. Look to God. Trust God. They were not trusting God. They should have been trusting God. Over to chapter 33 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33. They should have been trusting God. They weren't. They weren't. But they should have been. Could have been. But they didn't. So now, in the light of that, Jeremiah chapter 33. Picking up, please. And you know it. Jeremiah's in prison, by the way, appropriately for our study. He's still in prison. So, Jeremiah, God, what are you going to tell this guy? You got him in prison, all you prisoners of hope. And Jeremiah is protected by God, prison in, prison or out. Paul in, prison or out. God, you're going to, present the word of God, you know, in Timothy. The word of God is never what? In prison, bound. The word of God is never bound. God is never bound. God isn't bound by anything. Now, that's why we're going to look to God, trust in God, because he isn't bound. Nothing can chain God. Nothing can. You can't ever say something impossible, because anything's possible if God wants to do it. Wow. So now, thus you come to that statement, verse you know. Chapter 33, here's Jeremiah in prison. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things. The word mighty things is the word stronghold, inaccessible. I'm going to show you things that are inaccessible. I'm going to do something wonderful for you so that you can see. Here you are in prison, so it's a wonderful place for you to be reminded of this, Jeremiah. I'm going to show you wonderful things. That everything that seems overcoming and the walls up high to heaven and the enemy and the all of the problems, physical, mental, spiritual, social, economic, wow. Ah, but God, God, you're going to show great and mighty things, inaccessible things, which you know us not. You do not know them. Oh, you prisoners of hope, over to Zechariah. Zechariah and chapter 9, picking up if I can. And you'll see it in verse 12. Turn you to the stronghold. God is the stronghold. Ye prisoners of hope. What are they prison? They're caught. They're caught. They're caught. They're caught up in a wonderful, wonderful, enclosed prison to what? To hope. They're surrounded and bound like in chains to hope, to expectancy. Now, the word hope there, prisoners of hope, it means to twist threads together. That's how you make rope. You twist all the threads, the cotton, and you twist it and twist it and twist it. Get a great big rope like this that holds a great big steamer, ship. Wow. Rope. Twist all the threads together. Twist them. Enlarge, to thicken, to make, to hold fast, to stretch, to tighten. Other word, stretch, tighten. The rope is so strong. Hope. That's the word hope. Hope. That which doesn't break. That which doesn't change. That which can be counted on. You prisoners of hope, I'm going to do something wonderful, wonderful for you. I'm going to do it. Now, you aren't going to see it, Haggai, Zechariah. You're going to see Malachi, and then 400 years, and then John the Baptist. You aren't going to see, and then the crucifixion. But hey, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Whether you're here or you pass on and you're there, I'm going to fulfill it, and you're going to experience it. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, over in the light of that, prisoners of hope, endurance. Over, if you would please, to Job. Job, and we'll do a little exercise, because we want to have this. I want to be a prisoner of hope, the blessed hope. I want to be caught up looking for that glorious appearing of our Lord. And in Job chapter 8, Job in chapter 8, picking up, please, verse 13 and 14, to get in the light of it. Job 8, 13 and 14. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrites, what? The hypocrites' hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, whose trust shall be as a spider web, as a spider web. Now, if you're falling off a cliff, and you saw a spider web, and you saw a little spider web, would you reach up and grab the web? Probably not. And what would it do if you grabbed the web? It would disappear in your hands. Wow. Spider. Fools. Let me go a little further. Over, if you would, please, to chapter 27. Chapter 27 and in verse 8. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul? Now, when you got it all, and then you die, stop, you don't have anything. You bring nothing in, you take nothing out. And you know, all the wonderful statements are made, Proverbs. You can, well, just do that for just a second, just to see it all over the place. Proverbs, in chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, picking up, if I can, in verse 10 and verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Chapter 11, verse 7. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation, his hope, shall perish, and the hope of the unjust man perisheth. So we got all people hoping, but God said all of those hopes will fall, fail. They will never work. What kind of hope, what are you hoping for? What are you hoping for? I'm hoping. Well, what do you think? How do you think that's going to be fulfilled? Your hope. And then, not only fulfilled, but for how long will it be fulfilled? How long? Wow. So, now, you got a little bit. So the hope, people looking, and God said, you prisoners of hope. We're caught up with hope. That's right. wonderful hope. We need to be that way. God, you gave it to Israel, and you give it to us in a most wonderful way. So now, over if you can, to pick up the idea of it. Oh, Psalm 27. Again, all kinds of places to see the word hope. This hope, it's a prisoner's hope. That's what we want to be. And David, are you going to help us with that? Chapter 27, Psalm 27, verse 14. David said, wait, there's your word hope. Wait, wait, it's intensive. Be waiting. Don't be passive. Don't be lazy about it. Have a full, alert, vigor, energetic, I'm hoping. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Hope on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait. There's your word hope again. I say in the Lord. So we're hoping. We're waiting. We have a wonderful expectation, a wonderful anticipation of something. We're encouraged. No matter what, no matter how bad, lousy, we're always encouraged because it's only for a moment. And that wonderful, wonderful verse that includes, and it came to pass, and over and over and over again, God writes it, and it came to pass. And then he writes it again, and it came to pass. And everything that was came to pass. All gone. All gone. All gone. The pharaohs are gone. The Caesars are gone. They're all gone. They're going to come to pass. And all the system's going where we are. So we're looking to God. So now, having said that, over if you would, to pick up if you would, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait on the Lord continually, all the time. Do it consistently and over again the word will be used to be full of hope. Waiting, waiting, I'm a prisoner. I'm a prisoner. I'm not free. I'm looking. I'm looking. My moment that I'm able to live right now is encouraged because of what's going to happen. Now, over if you would please, in your Bible, Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. God, what are you going to say to Israel, to Judah? After the 70 years, you're going to set them free, but they aren't going to be free at all. They need to be full of expectancy of that, even though it's the times of the Gentiles, that Israel has a wonderful future. Here's Israel over there now. They are in a difficult place, are they not? Israel's in a terrible place, very terrible. And just think of having, I don't know how many, 130 or whatever it is, bombs dropped every day on your city. I mean, just, what do you want? Come on. If I had my way, I'd remove Gaza. Is it Gaza? Whatever the place is. I would take care of that. I'd go in a big bulldozer and just take care of it. Take care of the place, you know, and have it all flat so that I could sit back in my house. And when I look out, I could see the Mediterranean. And if anyone's going to come and make a rocket, they're going to have to stand on that land, and I'm going to see them. Anyway, you don't have to, because I'm not a military guy, you know. What can I tell you? You know, if I was a military guy, no one dies. I'm going to do everything so that not one life of my men, women, are lost, no matter what. That'd be my goal. Not one man, if I could. Now, in Jeremiah 29, I get up quickly. Verse, God, what are you going to tell us? What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to do wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. In verse 10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I'm looking, expected. It's hopeful. I'm hope, expect, hope, hope. Hope. I'm going to have it work out for you. Hope. You want hoping? You're a prisoner. I'm going to have it work. What you're hoping for is going to be certain. And verse 12, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And you're going to look for me with all your heart, and I'm going to honor it. Now, in the process of that, very quickly, over with you, please, Zechariah chapter 12 again, 9. Zechariah chapter 9. We did it very quickly. I hope just you got a little bit. I do. You know, there's so many things. Zechariah chapter 9. Just to see, we're prisoners of hope. And chapter 9 and verse 12. Turn you to the stronghold, Zechariah 9:12. Turn you to the stronghold. God is the stronghold. Ye prisoners of hope, you're bound to be expectant, and you're anticipating. Even today, but guys, this is the conditions. Here they are. Look out the window. Ruins. They're trying to build. You're trying to keep, boy, all the enemies around you, the Samaritans and everyone else. Well, look out the window. Turn on the news. And, hey, what have you got? You don't have good news. No. But today, do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Now, God, in turn, I'm going to bless your heart, but I'm going to do double. Now, doubles and get a little bit to go with that, but let me give it to you quick, a little bit, double. Now, the double, what do you know? Well, they're prisoners of hope, and they're encouraged to be expecting, aren't they? They're looking for the future. They're counting on it. And God is going to answer them. I'm going to give you double. Now, double. What do you mean? I'm going to do something wonderful. And without going doing it, remember in Romans 11, God said, listen, if the downfall and the unbelief of Israel makes for the saving of Gentiles, can you imagine when I have Israel, chapter 11, when I bring Israel back in the land, how fruitful and wonderful it will be. I'm going to double. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to bless them like they have never been blessed. Never. Wow. In closing, over if you would please. Isaiah. One of those great passages, you know. Isaiah chapter 40. And you know it. It's a wonderful encouragement for us. So when everything looks not so good, you roll up your sleeves and say, hey, God, I'm able to trust you with all my heart. You're my strength. The strength of my life, God. God, help me honor yourself. And thus, God, so that I can fulfill the reason I'm breathing this morning, right now. I want to fulfill the purpose in your glorious outworking. Now, verse 40. Chapter 40, and picking up, please. Oh, in verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. They're going to get exhausted. But, they that wait, do you see the word wait? That is the word hope. Prisoners of hope, expectancy, endurance, hanging in there. You got it. The rope, the threads all come together and make a very strong rope. The hope, you're hanging on to the hope. And boy, that hope isn't going to break. You betcha. But they that wait, that are waiting upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The stronghold, you want to be strong? You want to be able to make it? They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk. They shall walk and not faint. Wow. God, can you do that? I can do that. I can. And that's all we want, isn't it? God, I don't want to succumb to the system. It's overwhelming. I don't want to collapse under it. It's there and everything. And then we got all the physical things and everything else that we live with. Wow. God, I don't want to quit. I don't want to just sort of slide into nothingness. God, I want my heart fresh. I want to be strong. Strong and straight, God. So no matter what, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm a prisoner of hope. Blessed hope. I'm looking for you, God. Looking for you to come. That's God said, hang on to it. Hang on to it. That'll keep you. It's a wonderful expectation and a wonderful anticipation. It's going to give you, be able to keep going, because you aren't looking for the conditions around you to get better. You're looking for God to come. When you're looking for God to come, you want, oh, I hope work gets better, school gets better, my health gets better, my family gets better. Oh. But we aren't looking at that. We're looking at God. And a half a thought. One of the things you need to learn, you know, God has wonderful thoughts about you. True? More than the sand of the sea. Now, so, here we are trying to think about God, right? Aren't you trying to think about God? I got to think positive about God in His Word. I got to, and you're right. But God, I got it backwards. God, I want to be able to what? I want to understand that you are always thinking about me. And it's your thoughts about me that help my thoughts about you. Do you understand? I have to think about God. No. You have to, God thinks about you. God's thinking about you. That's what you feed on. Feed. God, here I am. You're thinking, aha. Blessed hope. Prisoners of hope. You got it? No? Anyway, I didn't mean to go. Remember Bible school? That's our main thought at the moment. All the rest of it's true, too. No question about that. But you're looking for God to do a work in the street, using the sign, using your contact, using the flyer, using God knows. God does what He does. God, do it. Do it. We're going to try to do our part. God, you do yours. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyway, you have any other thought? You have prayer requests as we go to prayer? Remember? Yes.